long before Jesus was born, many prophets comforted Israel by pointing to the arrival of the Messiah.
The Messiah was to be the one who made all things right and fulfilled the promise God made to Abraham that all people on earth would be blessed through you.
Isaiah said, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord."
Isaiah also said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel."
Emmanuel means God with us. It means that somehow God would be present in the Messiah who was to come.
Other prophets spoke of the Messiah also. Micah predicted the place of his birth. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times."
Hosea foretold the Messiah's time in Egypt. "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son."
Malachi predicted that another prophet would come to prepare the people for the Messiah. "I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come."
Jeremiah promises the Messiah will bring a new covenant for the people. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah."
But who is this Messiah? Who will come from Bethlehem, but also from Egypt? Who can possibly contain the essence of God in their being, yet also hail from the tribe of Jesse? How can a virgin conceive and give birth?
Come. Let us worship together the God of love, who entrusted the hope of the world with a young woman and her husband in Bethlehem so long ago.
Welcome on our journey to Christmas. My name is Reverend Meg Patterson, and I am the minister here at St. Stephen's. And it is my great joy to welcome you here this evening, those in person and those online, and to say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
There we go, we're awake. Good. This evening we have the opportunity to hear the story God started writing at the beginning of time that shows his love for all creation. Whether you have heard this story many times before or whether it's your first time, we hope you feel welcome here as we worship together. Tonight we have the joy to sing together, to hear the story of the birth of Jesus, and to share our gifts as a response to God's goodness. Now, to fully participate, there's a few things that you may want to have. Hopefully everyone received a candle. Yours might be in a plastic cup. We will use these at the end of the service. For those who don't want real fire, there are also battery-operated tea lights. So if you're missing it, the ushers will bring one to you if you wave at them. Later in the service, we will also take up an offering. I will say a bit more about that later, but there are little envelopes that you can receive. There's also instructions in the bulletin for how to give digitally if that is your preference. A couple housekeeping things. If you haven't been here before, there are washrooms out this door and down the stairs, as well as through the quiet room. There's a little room there that we call the quiet room. If you need to get away, you can still hear the service in that room. You're welcome to step in there for a few moments and then come back when you're ready. If you get fidgety and you need to move around, that's okay too. We are glad that you are here. So the next thing we do is we light the Christ candle. So I'm gonna invite up a few members of my family who are gonna come and lead. The words will be up on the screen. You follow the words for people and then they will do the parts of readers. So I will encourage you to stand if you're able for this, and then immediately following that we are going to sing.
We are Christmas people.
We have heard the good news that a child has been born for us, a son has been given to us, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
We have seen God kindle hope, peace, joy, and love in our lives and in our world.
The center candle in our Advent wreath is the Christ candle. From this light, all good gifts come.
We light this candle remembering the one who is the light of the world.
Let us pray.
Holy One, you sent your Son as a baby born in Bethlehem. Give us a strong sense of his birth among us, so that our lives reflect the warmth and the wonder of this Christmas flame. Make your church a place that shines with the wonder of your love. Amen.
Gracious God, God of creation, God of Christmas, we come together this evening grateful to be able to gather as a community. Grateful for your choice to come as a baby who grew up into a man who was a great teacher and a savior. We are grateful, God, to be together with family and friends, to be in this place, to be with your spirit. And we pray, God, as we worship together, that we would be reminded of who you are and why it is that we celebrate at this time of the year. God, although we are in different places, we are truly one people, and we thank you for the technology that allows us to worship together tonight from different places around Ottawa and the country and the world. You are a big God, and you have room for us all, and for that we are grateful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to start from this point here with a story. So if I've got any younger folks who really like stories, now would be a time to come up and join me at the front. You can also hear the story from there. If there are bigger kids that like stories, no judgment here. But you can come on up and we can read together. If you want to see the pictures, though, you'll have to be up here. It'll be hard to see. Hi, welcome. Come on up. Someone's got to be first. You're very brave. Hello. All right. Oh, I got a couple others coming. Excellent. No judgment. It's all good. Hey, buddy. All right. So we are reading a story tonight called Who Built the Stable? And so we all know, right, that Jesus was born in a manger, right? And normally we have a stable like this. And so, but one thing we don't know is who built the building that Jesus was born in. And so this author, Ashley Bryan, decided to imagine who that might be and what that might be like. So this is our story. It's full of nice, bright pictures, but you're going to have to imagine them if you're sitting back there. The reward for bravery of being up front is you get to see all the pictures. All right. Who built the stable where the baby Jesus lay? Was it built of bricks? Was it built of clay? Was it built of wooden sticks? Was it built of sod? Was it made by human hands? Was it built by God? These are all really good questions. Maybe you can talk about them on the way home. A child built the stable. A little shepherd boy apprenticed as a carpenter in his father's employ. He built the wooden stable for his donkey, ox, and sheep, a shelter from the weather, a home at night for sleep. It's pretty cozy. He watered them at sunrise, where they'd graze and freely roam. He called to them at sunset, "Follow me," and led them home. Was Jesus born in Italy, Russia, Spain, Japan? No, he was born in Bethlehem, a rich and verdant land. How did Joseph and pregnant Mary find a place to stay? When they went knock, knock, knocking and were always turned away? The little shepherd sheltered them, for one night he saw a star, and lo, it grew in brightness, approaching from afar. He looked about in wonder as there came into his sight a poor man and a woman wandering in the night. The boy asked, "Can I help you?" Gentle Mary spoke to him. "My child will soon be born," she said. "There's no room at the inn." "Oh, come with me," the boy exclaimed. "My stable's a warm place. My animals will welcome you. I'll sweep and clear a space." Wasn't that nice of him? He was a good host. He made a bin the cradle of straw and new mown hay. And when at dawn the child was born, he in the manger lay. The boy looked in the infant's eyes, and in his heart he knew the babe would be a carpenter. He'd be a shepherd too. That, I'll show the last page of the picture for those at home. Nose up. There's baby Jesus in the manger. And we know that he was a carpenter and he was a shepherd, too. The end. That's our story for this week. It's kind of a fun, different kind of take on the stable. And we're going to hear the story from the Bible in a few minutes about what it says about when Jesus was born. All right? So you guys can go back to your seats. I'm going to leave this up at the front, and at the end of the service, if anyone wants to look through the pictures, you're welcome to. Just be careful, it's a library book. I have to return it. All right.
According to Matthew, I'm reading chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is the story of the birth of the Messiah. Mary, his mother, was betrothed to Joseph. Before their marriage, she found that she was with child by the Holy Spirit. Being a man of principle, and at the same time wanting to save her from exposure, Joseph desired to have the marriage contract set aside quietly. He had resolved on this when an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," said the angel, "do not be afraid to take Mary home with you as your wife. It is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived this child. She will bear a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, Savior, for he will save his people from their sins." All this happened in order to fulfill what the Lord declared through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel, a name which means God is with us." Rising from sleep, Joseph did as the angel had directed him. He took Mary home to be his wife, but had no intercourse with her until her son was born, and he named the child Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So just like the people in our video, just like each of us, the people in the Christmas story were all seeking something. Whether we're talking about shepherds or wise men or Mary and Joseph, they were all looking for something. Matthew describes Joseph as a righteous man and says that he didn't want to expose Mary to public disgrace. What Joseph is seeking is how to walk a fine line between righteousness and kindness. Now, righteousness is not a word we like today. Normally, if we use it at all, we're probably putting self in front of it to talk about the self-righteous people we know who like to pretend they're maybe a step above us. And yet, righteous, when we come across it in Scripture, is not a bad word. It simply means trying to follow the commands of God. And it usually has to do about justice as well as about law. Joseph wanted to do what was right. He wanted to follow as best he could the faith that he had been raised in. Whether you follow the Christian faith or not, you've probably run into these kinds of scenarios. Maybe you have a friend or someone you care about who's making maybe to you some questionable decisions. Maybe you're not sure about whether what they're doing might cause harm to themselves or others, or maybe you just think it's going to lead them down a bad path. And you have to walk that line, right, of how to be supportive to them, but also how to follow your conscience, right, and how to speak up if you feel like maybe there's something that shouldn't happen. All of us, perhaps at one time or another, have been a Joseph in our own story. And Joseph is feeling conflicted because he cares about Mary, right? They're not living together yet, but effectively, they're almost like husband and wife. Engagement in those days was not like it is today, right? It was a contract that lasted for a year that culminated in the marriage ceremony. But they were already a family at this point. And so he's worried that she's not going to be treated well in the village if he makes a big deal of what's happened. And yet she's pregnant. He knows he didn't make her pregnant. And so he's stuck. And what's good, Joseph's come up with a plan. But before he lives out that plan, he thinks about it. And he rests. He sleeps. He sleeps on it. Maybe you've been given that advice before if you're making a big decision and you think you figured it out, just sleep on it and see if you feel the same way in the morning. But what perhaps is different about Joseph than about you or I most of the time when we're making decisions, Joseph is visited by an angel. And this angel tells Joseph, it's going to be okay. You need to marry Mary because God is doing something special through you, through your family. And what's remarkable is Joseph listens, and he obeys. We'll talk about that word, which we also don't like, in a minute. But here's what we see here, is that Joseph finds what he's looking for, but not in the place where he expects to find it, not the way he expects to find it, and maybe not even the answer he expects to find. Because that's one of the things God likes to do. He likes to bring us answers from unexpected places and in unexpected ways, as long as we're willing to open our eyes and look for them. So we're going to hear a little bit about Mary, but first we're going to sing together about that unexpected baby that came.
This reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, and then Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will call the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdoms there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The birth of Jesus Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all of the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord.
So our first reading came from Matthew. And when Matthew tells the story of Jesus, he focuses on Joseph, his father. But when Luke tells the story, he tells the story focusing on Mary, his mother. We don't often read the story of Gabriel talking to Mary on Christmas Eve. That's often an Advent reading. But I thought it was important because we hear a different perspective from Mary than simply the woman kneeling at the manger, pondering over what's happening. Because Mary is seeking something too. She is seeking an obedient life. Right? She asks this question, how will this be since I am a virgin? She wants to know the steps to make sure it happens. And her response when she hears Gabriel's remarkable answer is, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Now, if we don't like the word righteous, we really don't like the word obedience, unless we're the ones giving the commands, right? We don't like, most of us at least, don't like being told what to do, right? And we certainly don't go out of our way to find new ways to be obedient, right? We try to go about as best we can, and if we have to follow somebody else's rules, then we do, most of the time. Or if we think we can get away with it, maybe we don't. And we hope for the best. But Mary doesn't do that. She actively seeks out the best way for her to obey God's crazy command as an unmarried woman to carry a child in a time when that was a dangerous thing to do. And of course, it doesn't lead to an easy, peaceful life, right? Following the steps of God doesn't make life all rosy and sunny. But she does become a mother to this dear child, born in cramped conditions, sleeping in a feeding trough. I think ultimately Mary and Joseph are seeking the same thing. They're seeking to follow God faithfully. And what we see in the story is that, well, God doesn't make their life easy. He honors their choice, and he helps them to live it out. So my question for you tonight is, what are you seeking? What are you looking for? Maybe we can start with, why are you here tonight? All of you, I'm sure, have different answers for that. For those online, why did you choose to spend your evening from home with us to worship? Maybe it's a family tradition. Maybe you're here because this is where your family wants to be on Christmas Eve. Maybe you're lonely and you wanted to be around people. Maybe you wanted to hear a message about God. Maybe you didn't know where else to be. Whatever brings you here, I am glad that you are here and worshiping with us. But I want to challenge you a little bit to think a little bit about why God might want you here. Now, maybe not all of you believe in God, and I'm still glad that you're here. But just imagine for a moment why God might want you here tonight. Maybe you're not quite sure what's coming in your future. Maybe you have it all planned out. But maybe It looks a little foggy, a little murky, a little bit like standing in the middle of a snowstorm, not sure where your neighbor's house is on the other side of the street. Maybe you don't know what comes next. And maybe God is trying to put you on a path to something new, a path to something unexpected. Perhaps a path to a manger where a miraculous baby was born. Of course, Jesus wasn't the only baby born in difficult circumstances. He wasn't the only baby born somewhere uncomfortable or amid scandal or conflict. But I would say he's the only baby who grew up so that he could teach, and so that when he died, it was so that each of us would feel welcome into a family that welcomes without any qualifications or conditions. Maybe, just maybe, God is inviting you on your own little road to Bethlehem to see what gifts God has left for you in the manger with Jesus. Let us pray. God, you know what each of us are seeking, whether they are little things or big things, and you know why we're here tonight. We pray that we would hear your voice, we would see your path, and we would walk the little road to Bethlehem. Amen. One of the ways that we get to respond to God's goodness is by sharing our gifts with God's community. And so every Christmas Eve, we do collect an offering. This year, that money is going towards our refugee sponsorship fund. We've been working for a number of years now to bring a family who are refugees from Burundi and currently living in Uganda here to Canada. And so the money collected tonight will be used for that. I don't know if they may even be worshiping with us tonight because they're able to join us often, even from Uganda, which is such a blessing. So as the offering is collected, there should be, you may have gotten a little envelope that says Christmas offering. The bulletin also explains how you can give online if that is your preference. Of course, you don't have to give to be here. We are just glad that you are here. But if you choose, this is an opportunity to do so. God of goodness and light, we come to you this evening so grateful for the many gifts you've placed in our lives and in our community. And we give these gifts, just a portion of what you've given to us, back to you. The gifts of our lives, our time, our talent, and our treasures, so that your kingdom might be seen and built here in this community, in this country, and around the world. We pray particularly tonight for refugees all over the world, those who have forced to leave their homes because of persecution, because of war. We pray that they would have safe places to call home, and that we might be a small part in making that happen for one family. God, we thank you that in our blessing and our abundance, we might share with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to do something a little bit unusual tonight, and we are going to finish our service with a piece of scripture, the remainder of the Christmas story.
I'll be reading Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. The shepherds and the angels. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.